church. It is time to get started. If you would, grab a hymnal and turn to our first hymn for the evening, number 409, The Fight Is On. Hymn number 409, The Fight Is On. Singing there right on the first.
The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arm is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier,
Father, we thank you for this day, for another opportunity to gather together in your name. I pray that you'd be with the seeds that were planted this evening. Also pray that you would be with the service, that everything would be done decently and in order, that you would open up our ears and our hearts to the message, and just fill Pastor with boldness and with your Spirit. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our next hymn, number 87, Just When I Need Him Most. Hymn number 87, Just When I Need Him Most. 87. there on the first.
Just when I need Him, Jesus is dear. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Just when I
If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand, and an usher would be glad to bring you one. We have our Bible memory passage of the week, 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. On the inside, we have our service times listed there, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 4:30, and Wednesdays at 7. Below that, we have all of our soul-winning times. Definitely want you to get plugged into a soul-winning time. We have our year-to-date soul-winning statistics there. We're keeping track of local salvations, salvations in the Philippines, and then a year-to-date total. Also, I kind of just ran out of room on the bulletin, but I'm also keeping track of video conferencing salvations, which some of you are doing. So if you get a salvation through some sort of video conferencing technology, let me know, and I'll categorize that in its proper category there. Let's go ahead and flip over to the back first, where we have our upcoming events. March 28th, we've got our listeners pick soul winning marathon in Paterson, New Jersey. Definitely hope as many people can make it out as possible. People who are listening that are close in the area. I've already had a lot of people email me telling me they're going to be showing up. Some people driving from nearby cities, so I'm really excited for that. I did get one email asking, like, hey, I really want to go, but can I give some assurances to my family members that we aren't going to go on the wrong side of the tracks? And I let this person know we will definitely be going on the wrong side of the tracks. That's the whole point. And so, hey, if you've never been soul winning, it may sound scary, but you're going to be with people. And of course, you know, God wants people to get saved. And so I believe he's going to protect soul winners. Amen. I'm not going to say nothing could ever happen ever, but you know what? We pray for safety. We go out two by two. That's about all we can do. And we see great results all the time from it. So we're excited for that. April 1st will be the Lord's Supper service on a Wednesday. April 4th, that's the Mega Soul Winning Marathon in Oklahoma City. We started utilizing Pastor Shelley's website, godresource.com/events. So if you sign up, if you scan this QR code right here, you'll be able to register for that event. That way I know how many people are coming and can prepare for food and everything like that. So please go to godresource.com/events and sign up if you plan on coming. We're going to be meeting at 9 o'clock at Early Wine Park near the kind of kids' play area. There's a nice pavilion that's covered there. It's a good park. and it's close to really receptive soul winning. So 9 o'clock, soul winning will start at 10. We'll meet at lunch for lunch at noon, and then have lunch from noon to 12:30, and have a second round of soul winning from the end of lunch to 4 o'clock. So it should be a great day of soul winning there. And then you can tell our church loves soul winning because the next event is also soul winning. That is May 2nd, the OSU Stillwater Marathon, College Marathon there. And then May 9th, we got Mother's Day tea. We like moms too, so soul winning and moms. That's what we care about here. We also have something else we care about, the Anti-Israel Conference. That's a great thing. We're looking forward to that. May 20th through the 24th. I just went to a conference this week here in Oklahoma City, actually, the Old Paths Conference. Great conference. A lot of really good preaching, good meeting some fellow soul winners. You know, our church is not that big, but yet I was surprised people are coming up to me and they know us. They say, hey, you know, we see your guys' invites all over. We're thankful there's other people out soul winning. And I'm like, hey, I'm thankful there's other people out soul winning. That's how I feel too. So that was a great conference, and we're excited to have other soul winners here. June 17th through the 20th is the Germany Soul Winning Conference in Frankfurt. Myself and Pastor Shelley will be preaching at that conference together. So that's going to be a great time. Then we have, if you'll flip back over, we have our online visitor card there, which if people scan that, it gives them, signs them up for our email address, and then it auto links them to our YouTube, so you can just get them to subscribe if you have them scan that out, soul winning on those invites, and then our online giving option there as well. Then we have some updates. So in addition to last week's, Miss Jennifer's asking prayer for her mother just for pain management, that she'd be able to sleep after the recovery from her surgery. And then I've asked you all to please pray every single day for the Listener's Pick Soul Winning Marathon, just that as many soul winners as possible would hear about it and make it out so there could be a great harvest. And then also be praying for Brother Hall for his upcoming appointments and scans and just his health situation in general. As you saw in the Signal group, please keep that in prayer. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as a church family before we go to our third song. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this Wednesday evening. Thank you for the King James Bible, for salvation, for brothers and sisters in Christ, and all that you do for us. I pray that you just bless this service, Lord, that you would fill us all with the Holy Spirit, that you would just incline your ear to us as we sing to you, and that you'd bless the preaching and the fellowship and these prayer requests, Lord, that you would answer these according to your will. We pray that you please help Brother Hall with some of the health issues that he's been having lately, that you would just have the best outcome as humanly possible to have happen for him, Lord, that you bless his upcoming appointments and that things would just go well for him, that you'd give him strength during this trial. Also want to pray for the upcoming soul winning marathons, especially the Listener's Pick Soul Winning Marathon in New Jersey, that we'd have many, many people come out, that we would get some new soul winners come out that can learn, and that just the efforts through this marathon would be able to reach many people for Christ and reach many soul winners and inspire them to keep soul winning after we're gone. I pray, Lord, for the recovery of Miss Piper, that she would just have good pain management, that she'd be able to sleep, and that you bless her, Lord. We want to pray for Brother Eric and Brother Zach as they're soul winning in the Philippines, that you would just keep the door open to them, that they would just be able to win many, many people to Christ, that you'd keep them safe, Lord, and help them to keep working hard. Also want to pray for the ministry of Brother Urbanic, Pastor Stuckey, and the great works over there that Soul Winning Baptist Church and Steadfast Baptist Church are doing. I pray that you would strengthen them, that you bless their families and the works that are going on there. Also want to pray for Brother Theodore's mother, that you just heal her of her cancer, that you'd bless Brother Miles and his health. Also that you'd bless all the church members here who have loved ones that are unsaved, that those people would just have soft hearts to the gospel, that they'd get many chances to hear it, Lord. And please bless this service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our third hymn, it'll be in your white handouts. Turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, 150. In your white handouts. Mm-hmm. 150 there on the first.
Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in love. Turn of
offering plates are being passed, turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24.
Chronicles chapter 24. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives and begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, "Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter." Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, "Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow unto Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest, and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof they made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the Lord's of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the hosts of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash, and when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him, Zabad the son of Shimeath, and Ammonitus, and Jehozabad the son of Shemirith, a Moabitess. Now concerning his sons, and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, in the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thankful to have this church. Thankful, Lord, that we have those that are gathered here together. And I pray that you fill Pastor Oz with your Spirit, Lord, give him boldness to preach the Word of God to us. Help us to apply it to our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse 20. The Bible says, And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? Notice this phrase, that ye cannot prosper. Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. The title of my sermon is, Ye Cannot Prosper. Those are some scary words right there from the man of God saying, Why have you forsaken God? Why have you broken his commandments that you cannot prosper? That's a bad place to be in your life. And to give us some context of how it gets to this point, this is going to be one of those sermons with a long introduction because we got to really understand this chapter, all right? Go back, if you would, to verse number 1. This was the time of the kingdom of Judah's history where Joash was king. Notice verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So notice Joash, his kingdom was mostly good. And you would think, you know, a person starting, you know, a kingdom as a child, they're going to need someone to look to for leadership. But you don't want to be a person to where you just for the rest of your life, you can only do that which is right when someone's holding your hand, when someone's telling you exactly which decision to make all the time, every day, every decision. But, you know, while Jehoiada, the priest, was in the life of Joash, he was making the right decisions. And he was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And as a result, he was blessed. Okay, look at some of the things he was doing. It says in verse number 4, And it came to pass after this, that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Now that's a good thing to do, right? Sounds like this is a spiritually minded person. He cares about the house of God. He says, hey, it's my kingdom. I make the rules. Here's what we should do. Let's go repair the house of the Lord. That's a great thing to do, right? Look at verse 5. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, notice, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. He's saying, look, I'm sending these Levites out with haste. I want to get this job done. I want to fix God's house because God's house has been desecrated by this wicked woman, Athaliah, and they've broken down God's house. They've just desecrated the things that are for service. And he is kind of getting mad here, and he's getting mad for a righteous cause because he says, hey, why have you not done this? He says, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord. You know that you have a righteous anger when you're looking at a situation and you're saying, like, why are you not following the Bible? Why are you not listening to Moses? Why are you not doing what the Bible says? This is a righteous guy so far, right? I mean, he's getting mad about the right things. He's got a heart for the house of God. He wants things fixed. But that's not where the story ends, unfortunately, because let's keep reading verse 11. It says, Now it came to pass, at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So here's another good thing, another positive thing so far that King Joash is doing is, hey, he's being blessed financially, and he's using the finances that God has blessed him with for what? The work of the Lord. He says, hey, we need these masons, we need these carpenters, we need these hewers of stone. Let's take this money and let's invest it into the work of God, into the house of God. And notice, he's actually paying his workers. That's good, right? Look at verse 13. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them. And they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. When they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. So notice, he's taking the money for the house of God, and he's spending it to hire workers for God's house, to work in God's house. And you know anything else? He's like, hey, let's buy vessels for what? For the use of the service of God, right? So this is not some covetous person where he's stealing money, where he's not feeding the flock, and he's just this greedy person that's just interested in feeding himself and not actually blessing God's people and not actually blessing the work of God, right? He's using it responsibly here. And notice how the Bible said that he did this all the days of Jehoiada, right? So there's a long period of time. There's decades and decades where Joash is doing right, where Joash is a good king, where he is pleasing in the sight of God. Look at verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. So notice, he's been following a good leader his whole life. But that leader gets old, that leader dies, and that leader is out of the picture for Joash. And you would think, all right, Joash, you've had enough training. You're a man of God. You're a king. You've got the Lord on your side. Hey, you can make the right decisions now. You could lead. You could set the example. But notice what he does. The princes come. They make obeisance to him. And he, what's the exact wording the Bible gives there? Then the king hearkened unto them. That's weird. Why is the king hearkening unto the princes? Why isn't the king getting up and setting the standard, making the rules, doing that which is right, and make it to where other people are doing that which is right because they're following you? Not you're just doing right because you're following other people. Verse 18, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, notice, and served groves and idols. I mean, just like that, He follows someone else. He stops following Jehoiada. And what does it say? Just boom, they left the house of God. Just, they're serving groves and idols just immediately, as soon as it happens. Verse 19, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. This is frustrating to read. I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, why are we not in Ecclesiastes? It's because I read this on my lunch break and I got mad. Because it's just like, why are people like this? Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Right? So this is the son of the man that he was following doing, right? The Spirit of God comes upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Crazy to think about. A man doing right for decades. A man who is the king. A man who is doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And just like that, he's in a situation where the man of God gets up with the inspiration of the Spirit of God and says, why are you doing this? Now you can't prosper. That's blackpilling right there. That's a message of doom. That's a message that is negative coming at him saying like, hey, you can't prosper. Because you know what? There's some things that if we do in our lives, we will not be able to prosper. There are some things that you and I could do, and it doesn't matter if you've been serving God for decades and decades, whether you've been doing that which is right in the Lord, you know, all the days of your life so far, that could change. That could change, and you can get to a point where you cannot prosper. How does the rest of the story go? Look at verse 21. It says, and they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. So what happens? He gets corrected by a man of God because he's in sin, because he's doing that which is, you know, evil. And what does he do? He attacks the man of God. He kills the man of God. He stones the man of God. And the man of God says, hey, the Lord look on this and requite it. Then what happens is the Syrians come and destroy Jerusalem and kill all the princes that Joash wanted to listen to and loved to hearken unto so much. Verse 23, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. Notice the Syrians came with this little itty-bitty tiny army. And I'm sure the people in Jerusalem felt like they were safe because they had a big host. But when God is delivering you up, it doesn't matter the size of the army coming against you. It doesn't matter the size of the army that you have. If God is against you, you are doomed. Yeah, right. If you're in a situation where you cannot prosper, guess what? You cannot prosper. Verse 25, then notice his end. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. What a story that is in our Bible. And it's like, hey, it did not have to be this way. Joash's life did not have to be this way. He had so much going for him. He was doing that which was right. He was pleasing in the sight of God. But notice, he did some things in his life to where he could not prosper. He got a bunch of people killed. He brought the judgment of God down on his nation, down on his kingdom, and he ends up getting murdered by his own servants. The end. What a happy story, right? You know, people want to act like the Bible is just all so positive. There's some gnarly stuff in the Bible. There's some gnarly stories in the Bible, and you know what? This is one of them. But you know what? I read this story not to say, ha ha, Joash, look at Joash. It's like, hey, let that not be us. Yeah. We should be scared to death that we could ever get to a point in our life where a man of God or the Lord is looking at us and just saying, you cannot prosper. You are doomed. The judgment of God is coming upon you. You should be terrified of coming to that place in your life. And I think there's five things here that we can learn that Joash made the mistake of going into that led him to a point where he just cannot prosper. Number one, You cannot prosper when you follow wicked people. You cannot prosper when you follow wicked people. 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse 15. And keep your place here throughout the sermon. The Bible says, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. So what has he done? He's changed who he is allowing to influence him. Now he's the king. He shouldn't be, you know, allowing himself to be influenced by his subordinates, by the princes. But you know what? That's what he's doing. He's allowing people to influence him. And what did they influence him to do? Because notice it says, he hearkened unto them, so he listened to them. He did what they told him to do, and what immediately happens? And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. If you in your life allow yourself to be influenced by wicked people, you will go down a bad path. It's just how it works. And sometimes people want to constantly just ignore the red flags, ignore the terrible sermons being preached, ignore the major sins, ignore the cover-up, ignore all these things. But I'm telling you, if you follow wicked people, you will come to a point in your life where you cannot prosper. That is the truth. Go to Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13. Who you allow to influence you, it's not neutral in your life. It's going to have a massive influence on your life. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, here it is, shall be destroyed. Now, what happened to Joash? He was destroyed, literally. His kingdom was destroyed. What does that tell us? Hey, you need to get around wise people. What is someone that is wise? Well, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? So, hey, why don't you get around some people that actually fear God? That's a good place to start. Why don't you go to a church where the Bible is actually being preached, where it's not the pastor's opinion that's constantly going to be preached, not his constant feminist stupid ideologies that are going to be preached, but actually the Bible. Hey, when you're friends with those that are wise, you'll be wise. But if you are a companion of fools, you will be destroyed. Let me show you an example of this. Go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter number 16, look at verse 23. It says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, notice, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Some people think like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter who I hang out with, doesn't matter who I fellowship with, doesn't matter who I allow to influence me, you know, I'm not going to go down the road, that bad road, I'm not going to fall into sin. Hey, even if my buddy is living a super wicked life, doesn't mean that I have to. Okay, but what happens when God judges your buddy that you're close to, judges your church that you're in, judges your family that's super wicked, and you're there? Guess what? You could be collateral damage. And God says, hey, just don't listen to these guys. Oh, you know, just don't be close friends with them. He says, get away from them. Get far, far away from them. And you know what? My message tonight is you need to get far away from the ex-New IFB. Yeah. Let me tell you this. You need to get far away from Verity Baptist Church. Yeah. And you know what? It blows my mind that we've come to a day in my life where I ever thought I'd have to say that. Never in my life did I think I'd have to get there. But you know what? Verity Baptist Church has become a wicked church. Full of wicked people. And you know what? You go ahead and read 2 Chronicles 24 again. You know what it is? It's just the downfall of Verity Baptist Church that you're reading. That's what the whole chapter is. It's crazy today. You know, I would not want to be in a church that had the leadership has admitted to stealing over $100,000 from a missionary. I would say get the hell away from that. Get out of that church. I would say leave Verity Baptist Church. I don't think it's right to stay there. That church is evil. When they get up and they have admitted that for the last years and years and years, they have been stealing over $100,000 from their missionary, Pastor Stuckey, a guy who is turning the world upside down with the gospel, who's getting tens of thousands of people saved, who's doing a great work for God, and it's been, you know, promoted to us and to donors. Hey, you know, we're supporting our full-time missionary, Matthew Stuckey. Meanwhile, the guy is, like, losing money every month, not making ends meet, living in squalor over there in the Philippines, while we're being told, hey, this is going to the Philippines, and it wasn't going to the Philippines. That's wicked, folks. You'd want to get away from something like that. You know, I'd be wanting to get away from a church where the pastor has to step down for some sort of sexual sin, where multiple witnesses have stated that he knew that he should have stepped down in January of 2025. I'd want to get away from a church where I've been listening to terrible preaching, bad influence, bad doctrine, bad sermons for over a year, and there's been no repentance for it. There's been no deleting of his sermons. There's been no standing up saying, hey, this was bad, this was terrible, we need to move on. No, 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 you got Pazarnski who gets up and says, hey, sorry for the week you guys have had. It's been such a bad week now that you've lost your pastor. I got something really important I need to tell you guys, though, before we get into the sermon, and that is that Roger Jimenez is my friend. He continues to be my friend. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. That was his message. That is pathetic leadership right there. That is pathetic leadership. Jared Pazarnski is a coward. He is a weakling. And you know what? He is not a man worth following. And you know what? I could have already told you that because of the feminist crap that he was preaching last year, getting up saying, she could leave. And you know what? Pastor Menez was preaching really similar stuff. Pisses me off, folks. I'd want to get away from a church that has spent the last year slandering and attacking good men of God that did nothing to them.
Right.
Nothing. But support them and love them and bless them and speak good of them. And then the pastor wants to get up while he's involved in a moral sin and call us low character, you know, vile, trashy, all this stuff. You know, get the hell away from a place like that.
Yeah.
That obviously has no fear of God.
Yeah.
Look at verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. You know, sometimes it's very obvious when God is judging. Sometimes it's just super clear. He that has eyes to see, let him see that God is judging. It's like, here's a good, you know, indication that God is judging. When the earth opens up and people fall alive into hell, right? That's a pretty good indication these people aren't saved. Okay? Verse 31, and it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now look, I don't think for one second that Roger Jimenez is unsaved, like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I don't think that for one second. You know, I don't think even, you know, Pazarnski and leadership and people involved with this, I don't think for one second that these people are unsaved individuals. But I show you this story to teach you this principle that you want to be far, far away from people whom God is judging. And you know what? God does not only judge the unsaved. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, right? So God, yes, he will punish the wicked, and this is a strange punishment right here. This is extreme, where these people are falling alive into hell. They're unsaved. And isn't it funny, when you keep reading, it talks about the bleeding hearts, who on the morrow, they're crying, they're whining, they're like, oh, why have you killed the people of the Lord? It's like, hey, idiot, these people were not saved.
Right.
They are in hell, okay? You know, the bleeding hearts throughout this whole you know, controversy the last couple years is what makes me mad just more than about anything else, is the stupid people, bleeding hearts, when it comes to this kind of stuff, that have no problem whatsoever with an unqualified pastor just berating and attacking good men of God for no reason whatsoever. They have no problem with that. You know, they'll get up and scream amen in their church when that stuff is happening. But then, you know, when their pastor steps down for having done some horrible atrocity, it's the heart, it's the sad, it's the cry. And look, it is sad that Joash ended his life in destruction. It is sad that Jerusalem got destroyed by the Syrians. But here's the thing. It didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. Okay? And so it's like, you can get to a point in your life where you can't prosper. And the more you dig in these bad areas we're going to talk about tonight, the more screwed you are. The more terrible it's going to be. Go to Psalm 101. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:12, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. I'm going to read that again. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. People continuing to engage in this cover-up at Verity Baptist Church, people saying, I'm going to go to the grave with the details of the moral sin and all this stuff. Look, they are wicked as well. You should go to a different church. You should leave Verity Baptist Church. And look, I've always loved Verity Baptist Church. You know, regardless of what the stupid haters think, which they don't know anything. Like, these people are literally retards, okay? You know, I preached at Faithful Word Baptist Church a few months ago. I preached a couple sermons, and they're like, oh, you know, Pastor Oz was preaching against Pastor Jimenez. And it's like, I wrote those sermons before he even stepped down. It's just like, there's this thing called the Holy Spirit that's convicting you right now, and that's why you thought that. But that wasn't even the case. Now I'm preaching against him, yes. Now I'm preaching against Verity, but it wasn't the case then. Psalm 101, but hey, regardless of the Verity situation, also just apply this to yourself. You need to get away from wicked people. You need to not allow wicked people to influence you in your life. You need to be careful of the people that you follow. Look at Psalm 101, verse 3. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Boy, are there a lot of froward people in this world. A lot of just contrarian, froward people, and it just doesn't even matter the controversy. They're just always on the wrong side. It's like the same people that I was hearing, you know, simping for Adam Fannin back in 2019 are the same people simping for Pazarnski now. Why? Because they're froward. And you know what that means? They're wicked. You should not follow anyone that is still championing, you know, uplifting, cheering on this wickedness happening at Verity Baptist Church. That should be a major red flag to you. Get away from that wicked person. Verse 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. See, there was signs way before any of this stuff happened. Way before. And, you know, some people are just seeing it now. But, you know, I saw this stuff 2 years ago. A lot of us saw this stuff 2 years ago because there was tons of signs 2 years ago. You know, one of the signs that a preacher is not right with God is when his sermons lack power. Because you know what? Preaching and church, it's not some sort of financial formula. It's not some sort of program formula. It's not just do these events over and over and, you know, do all these things. Look, it's the Spirit of God. And you cannot go through your life as a pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian in the flesh. It's going to be obvious. And here's the thing. Pastor Jimenez, former Pastor Jimenez, Roger Jimenez, was at one point, I believe, one of the mightiest preachers on earth. That he was one of the greatest preachers on earth. He was someone I looked up to so highly that had a great influence on my life that I appreciate. And you know what? I am preaching this out of love, partly so that he will get right with God, because that's the only hope he has for his future. Because if things stay how it is right now, let me tell you what, Roger Jimenez, you will never prosper. You will never prosper. That puts a pit in my stomach to say, but that is the truth. Okay? Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within mine house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Number one, you got to be careful of following wicked people. And if you follow wicked people, you can get to a point where you cannot prosper. Number two, you cannot prosper when you forsake the house of God. You cannot prosper when you forsake the house of God. Look at verse 17. It says go back to 2 Chronicles 24. I told you to keep your place there. 2 Chronicles 24. We're just going through what the chapter shows happened here. Verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. There it is. And they left the house of the Lord, God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Look, Joash spent his life
doing that which was right. Joash spent his life being someone that cared about the house of God. He says, let's go rebuild the house of God. He says, hey, let's spend money and hire people to build the house of God. Hey, let's spend money and buy all these vessels for the service of the house of God. But let me tell you something. It does not matter if you used to be in church. It does not matter if you used to be Three to Thrive. You used to care about church. Where are you at now? Where are you at right now? That's who you are. That's who you are. And so, hey, Joash, yeah, you did that which is right. You please God. You love the house of God. But you know what? You let these wicked people affect you. And notice, you left the house of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of Christians today in this world that leave the house of God. And I'm telling you, you are begging for God to cut off the prosperity in your life. You can get to a point where God says, oh, you don't want to care about my house? Oh, you don't want to care for the institution that my son died for? Okay, no prosperity for you, jerk. How about that? You know, it pisses me off today that this world is going to hell. That this world we're living in, our country we are living in, is just going crazy. And wickedness abounds. And we live in these uncertain times of wars and rumors of wars. And yet people don't care to go to the house of God. It is unbelievable to me. But let me tell you what, if you forsake the house of God, you could destroy your life. And look, God may be merciful with you for a while, oh thou online listener, right now. God could be merciful with you for a while, but you know what? Don't take that for granted and think because God's being merciful to me now, he always will be. No, no, no. If you go on forsaking the house of God, God can destroy you. God can destroy you. And you know what? Unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And you know what? I don't think this is an average church that was dropped in the Oklahoma City Metro today. And woe unto someone that knows they should be going soul winning. Woe unto someone that knows the King James Bible, that knows they should be in church in the house of God, and they're just choosing not to go. Woe unto you today. You are on a path to destroy your life. You say, are you mad at me? Do you hate me? No, I love you, and I don't want you to destroy your life. That's the truth. And you know what? If you come back, I'm going to be so happy to see you because I don't want to see you destroyed. I don't want to see you get to a place where it's just, I cannot prosper. And you know what? It's like, hey, you already know the truth about the synagogue of Satan. You already know the reprobate doctrine. Hey, you already know hard preaching. So it's like, what lame, watered-down church are you going to right now, online listener? Go to 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Oh man, I used to be in church. Oh, I used to be an on-fire Christian. Well, how are you now? Because it sounds like you're on the road to destruction by saying you are used to be right with God. It says this in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the house of God today. This is not a hangout place for your buddies. Hey, I'm glad that there's some close friendships in here. This is not a friend group right here. You realize that? This is the house of God. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. And you should care about that. You should love that. You should attend a church like that. Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Look, church, it's not your bowling club. It's not your softball league. It's not your chess club. It's not your Dungeons and Dragons club. It's not your fitness club. It's not your tennis club. It's not your pickleball club. It's the house of God. Yeah. It's not your business. It's not your job. It's not your family function. It is the house of God. Amen. Stop forsaking the house of God. Good. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Notice this. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, praise God that you used to go to church. Hey, praise God that you used to be Three to Thrive. You know what I want to do? I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be in God's house tonight on Wednesday. I want to be back Sunday morning. I want to be back Sunday night. I want to be back next Wednesday night until the day I die. Amen. Lord willing, that is what I want. And hey, I hear about extra church opportunities. Hey, I was in church Monday night. I was in church Tuesday night. I'm like, oh, there's a preaching conference in town? I'll be there. You know why? Because I love God's house. Because it's the house of God. This is God's house. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Oh, I know where you're going with this. Yeah, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You should know it by now. And it's going to be so much the more. I hope this is etched into your soul. Hebrews 10, verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Notice, as the manner of some is. Some people, they have a lifestyle, they have a habit, they have a custom of just forsaking the assembly of God. And you know what? That was Joash once he started listening to wicked people. He used to be faithful. He used to care about the house of God. But then something changed, and it became his manner immediately to forsake the house of God and to serve idols. And you know what? You cannot prosper. You forsake God's house, you cannot prosper. And it's funny. Some people forsake God's house with the hope of prospering. How stupid is that? That's retarded, folks. Yeah. You're just asking yourself not to prosper. And notice right here, it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Church is more important today than it was last week. Yep. It's going to be more important next week. It says, for if we sin willfully, skipping church is a willful sin, by the way, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You know what that is? Destruction. Being judged by God. Saying, hey, you cannot prosper. It may not have happened yet. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next year. But if you just forsake God's house, you will not prosper. That is a fact. You know what you have looking forward to? Fiery indignation. That's what you have to look forward to. God's judgment on your life. Go to Hebrews 12. You know, some of you haven't forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. Some of you haven't forsaken church. You're physically here, but your heart has forsaken church. Some of you, it's very obvious that you have lost your love for the house of God, okay? Because, you know, the Bible doesn't just say, be a body in a building, you know, just sit here and exist. You know what the Bible says? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Notice what it says, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You know what? You ought to have reverence for the house of God and not treat this like this is nothing. Not treat God's house like this is just some nothing. And you know what? The sermons are just some nothing and the man of God is just some nothing. And oh, this is just some little crappy church or whatever. No, no, no. You ought to serve God with reverence. You know what that means? High respect. Amen. High respect. How about this? I'll read for you. 1 Timothy 4:13, the Bible says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Hey, why don't you have some reverence and follow along in your Bible? Why don't you open the Word of God? Why don't you actually turn to the verses that are being turned to? Because you know what? That's serving God with reverence. That's having godly fear, saying, oh, the Word of God is being opened? Let's listen to it. Hey, let's follow along. Let's care about it. You know, what's not reverence to God is sitting in your pew on your phone, scrolling the whole sermon, smiling and giggling and scrolling on your phone the whole sermon. Some of you must think I'm an idiot, like I can't see you. Hey, I'm right here, buddy. Preach it. I'm right here. And you know what? I can see you. And more importantly, God can see you. And it's wicked as hell to disrespect God's house and to just sit there in your seat and just scroll on your phone and laugh. Hey, I can see you. You see that? You see me right now? I can see you guys. Can you see me? I mean, do I need to be like an elementary school teacher that comes up to the kid texting? It's just like, hey, what you got on your phone right there? Like, do I need to do that in the house of God or something like that to get someone to actually respect God's house? Because I'm telling you what, I'm done being Mr. Nice Guy. I'm done letting God's house be disrespected when I'm preaching God's word. So you better be careful. okay? I'm not talking about, hey, husband, bring me a diaper in the baby room. I'm not talking about ushers like, hey, you know, security thing, hey, sending the tithing. I'm saying, you just scrolling on your phone all sermon, you better be careful. You want to be embarrassed? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You know, you come to church, but you're not listening. You come to church, but you complain. Oh, you haven't forsaken the house of God with your body, but you sure have with your heart. It's very easy to see. Go back to 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24. Oh, are you preaching against me? Well, if you feel like it is, then yes. Yes, I am. So, you know, in the words of formerly great Pastor Jimenez, don't send me an email, okay? Don't send me an email. Yes, it is about you. 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse 18. Here's another way that you could just make it to where you cannot prosper in your life. Number three, you cannot prosper when you are living a life of sin. You cannot prosper when you are living a life of sin. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 18 says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and notice, served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. So notice, just like, hey, he's doing that which is right. And then, boom, he follows a wicked person, and boom, he's outside of church, and boom, he's involved in grievous sin. What is it? Idolatry. You know, idolatry will bring the wrath of God on you. It'll bring the wrath of God on a country, on a religion. Hey, the Catholic Church is not going to please God tonight. The Catholic Church can never prosper because they're idolaters. That's what it says. Hey, they served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. You live a wicked life of sin, you are going to bring the wrath of God on your life. That's what you're going to do. Look what it says in verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Here's God calling you back. It's called the rebuke from the pulpit. That's God saying, hey, knock it off. I'm calling you back. Hey, I know you're involved in wicked sin. That's why the pastor's preaching against it. All right? Hey, repent. Listen to the preaching. But it says they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Look, God is long-suffering, so much more than we deserve. And sometimes people mistake God's long-suffering as like weakness, or that God's not going to handle issues, that God's not going to deal with problems. Let me tell you something. God is very, very long-suffering. But if you are just hanging on to wicked sin in your life, and you're just pretending like it's not there, and you're just going to forsake God, you're going to forsake his commandments, you're going to be in the grove, you're going to worship idols, let me tell you what. You forsake God, he will forsake you. He will judge your life. He will make it to where you cannot prosper. That's the reality. That's a scary, scary place to be. You know the Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know what that's saying? You cannot prosper. You're going to be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. Look, if there is something that is brought to your attention in your life, whether by the word of God, whether by the preaching of God's word, the pulling of the Holy Spirit, that is something that God is not happy with, you better yield to that as soon as possible. Because if you harden your neck, and let me tell you what, if you harden your neck being often reproved, if you come to a church like this and you just harden your neck and you hear the preaching on soul winning, you just never become a soul winner. You hear the preaching against adultery and you want to go commit adultery. You hear the preaching on all these things. You just harden your neck. You are asking to be destroyed by God. And you know what? There's a destruction that can happen to you that is without remedy. There's some situations that cannot be fixed. You know what's better is to hear preaching like this before you ruin your life. Before you end up being like Roger Jimenez. Because let me tell you what, Roger Jimenez is saved. And Roger Jimenez, like Joash, was a great man of God for a long time. And you know what? That shouldn't be like, oh, well, that's a relief. That should be terrifying to you. Because it's like, hey, if a great man of God can go down this road, how much less I? How much less all of us? Right? So, hey, we got to be careful. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This is your wake-up call tonight, right now, that if you have some sort of wicked sin that you've been covering in your life, tonight you need to go home, fall on your face, and ask God for mercy on you. You need to beg him for mercy. You need to say, Lord, I am not going to cover this. I am sorry. I am going to forsake this sin. Hey, I am going to not cover this up because I want to receive mercy from you. Look, you better be afraid of God. Hey, but here's the good news. If you confess, God will forgive you. Why don't people do that? I mean, you just know, like, God will forgive you. It's just like, why are you covering it up? Why don't you just nip it in the bud? Why don't, when you're going down a dark path, as soon as possible, say, whoa, I need to fall on my face right now. I need to confess and forsake this sin. Not just confess it, forsake it as well. I'll read 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you check the sound? I just turned it off on accident. Are we good? All right. Go, if you would, to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. I want to be prosperous. I do not want to get to a position in my life where just God just says, like, you cannot prosper. You shall not prosper. That is a terrifying thought to me. What does Joshua 1:8 says? The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How do you prosper? How do you have good success? You take the words of the Lord, you read it every day, and you observe to do it. Because guess what? Serving God, it's not just a numeric game. Like, oh, our church is a certain size, so we could just be wicked and coast, and we'll just be good because we have all this money, and we have a building, and we have a big congregation. No, no, no. You have to observe to do. You have to observe to do the commandments of God. Then you will prosper. Then you will have good success. And you know what? Doesn't matter if you've prospered in the past. Doesn't matter if you were right with God in the past. Doesn't matter that your church has done great things for God in the past. Who are we right now? Are we right with God right now? Are you observing to do right now? Let me tell you this. You will never prosper in your life if you come to this church and you go home and you sneak your alcohol. You will never prosper. You are begging for the wrath of God on your life because you know what? Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're an idiot today if you drink alcohol. And you know what? I may not know about it. We may not know about it in this room, because if we did, you'd be kicked out of church if you're a drunkard. But God knows about it, and you better knock it off. If you're drinking alcohol today, today is your call to quit now. You know, if you're going out doing drugs, taking illicit drugs, getting high, you think you're going to get away with it? You think you could prosper and have your little drug habit on the side? Let me tell you what, you will not prosper. Young people, you think you could shack up with your girlfriend or ladies with your boyfriend before marriage and no one's going to know? God will know, and you will not prosper. You better fear God. Men, you're going down a road on the path to adultery. You better stop the second you get on that road. You better be scared to death to go. Hey, don't even go near the corner of her house, the Bible says. Hey, it says, don't let her take you with her eyelids. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Look, if you're going down a dark path, you better cut it off as soon as possible. You better be scared to death of going down that road. And again, right now, you know, I don't know what everyone's involved in. If you've got some side chick, if you're cheating on your wife, if you're chatting up girls on an online chat room, if you're receiving pictures and videos from someone that's not your wife, today is the day where you get on your face, you apologize to God, you confess that sin, and you forsake it forever. Or you will destroy your life. Moral sin. What the hell even is that? The only thing I can think of is that the modern versions, you know, replace fornication and adultery with sexual immorality. And it's so funny when all these, you know, liberal pastors step down, it's always for a, you know, moral failure. That's what they call it, moral failure. Translation, something sexual. And it's like multiple witnesses saying that Miss Joanne Jimenez is the victim of this sin, okay? Oh, but I would never. But you would never, really? Because seems like a great man of God did. Have you ever read the Bible? Like, have you ever read what men are like? It's like, you know, these single guys are complaining about how they can't find a girl. And it's like the men in the Bible are trying their best to stay with one. All right. That's just the reality. Okay. So, you know, you should be afraid of going down a road of sin. You cannot prosper if you are living a wicked life. I'll read for you Proverbs 16, verse 6. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You better fear God tonight. I saw a comment on Facebook, and it said, why does the ex-New IFB keep getting destroyed? And my answer was simple. Because God exists. Because God exists. And God sees. And God hears. And God knows. And God is not someone to be played with. I want to make sure I'm not skipping anything tonight, because I don't want to talk about this all the time. Go back to 2 Chronicles 24. Number four. A way where you could just not prosper. Make it to where God just says, hey, you shall not prosper. Number four, you cannot prosper when you go against the man of God. You cannot prosper when you go against the man of God. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 18 says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. You know, doesn't this remind you of the ex-New IFB split, right? Where you got these people, and they're preaching, and they're defending kids rebelling against their parents. They're defending, and they're standing with kids that are cursing their mother and father. They're standing with kids that go to transgender people, faggots, Romans 1 reprobates, to destroy a man of God, and they stand with those people, and some of the pastors got up and said they shed a tear when they watched the interviews. And you know what? The Lord sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Hey, you can't say you weren't warned, because there were pastors getting up saying, hey, feminism is creeping in to the new IFB. Hey, there's some weird crap that's going on over in Boise, Idaho, saying that you can't, you know, you're not supposed to fear God anymore. All sorts of weird false doctrine. Oh, you know, hey, isn't it weird that it's being preached that she could leave? Hey, husbands, your wife follows you like you follow the pastor. You don't have to come to church here. She could leave. Hey, there was some preaching against that stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't like they weren't warned. It wasn't like we weren't screaming our lungs out and spitting out on the congregation here, just yelling and freaking out and blowing our top about feminism creeping in. No, we did, didn't we? Hey, it happened here, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did. But they would not give ear. And they continued to stand with rebellious kids. They continued to stand with documented lies. They continued to stand with a false story. They continued to stand with the feminists and the railers and those that taught false doctrine. And they did not give ear to the preachers that were rebuking it. But you know what? Not only did they not give ear, it got worse than that. It says in verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, ye hath also forsaken you. Notice, he didn't just not listen to Zechariah. Then it goes to verse 21, and they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the house, in the court of the house of the Lord. Notice Joash, he didn't just hear the preaching that was correcting his error. Who was in the wrong here? Joash. Joash has forsaken the house of God. Joash has put up groves. Joash is following idols. Zechariah, the Bible says, has the Spirit of God. He's filled with the Spirit. He's correcting this. And not only did Joash just disregard his preaching, ignore him, then he takes it to a completely different level where he conspires against him. He attacks him. Yea, he kills him. Stones him with stones. I mean, how wicked and evil is that? To have the blood of a man of God on your hands who was doing that which was right, who was trying to warn you. Do you think Zechariah hated this man? No, no, no. Zechariah was the son of Joash's friend. Right? Jehoiada, who he was following. I mean, this guy right here, Zechariah, probably deeply loved Joash. And it's like, before all this happened, do you think that the preachers who are still currently new IFB, do you think we just like hated these guys? No, that's not the case. That's not the case whatsoever. We had great love for them. And Pat, Roger Jimenez specifically, I had a lot of love for. A lot of great love. And anyone who knows me, Anyone who's known me for years and years can tell you that I've always spoken positively of him. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is right. Anyone who knows me knows that that is the case. But you know what? I love truth, and I love the Bible, and I love right doctrine, and I love people, and I know that error is going to destroy people. And so you know what? We called it out. We preached against the false doctrine. Other pastors did even more so. But you know what? The ex-New IFB, they didn't just ignore the warnings. They attacked the man of God. They went after the man of God, especially Pastor Anderson, especially him. Attacking him, you know, going with his children that are rebelling against him. You know, he's got family members harboring his daughters. He's got, you know, this documentary being made against him, Man of God by Paul Wittenberger, with all the slander and railing. I mean, Pastor Anderson's got to be the most persecuted man in America, getting swatted all the time, having CPS come to his house all the time. And it's like, you know you're on the wrong side when you're standing against great men of God. You should always look to your left and right and be like, whoa, why am I standing with fags? Whoa, why am I standing with feminists? Whoa. It's like, you know, why does the ex-New IFB's preaching on marriage agree with all the fags and feminists that leave voicemails for my church? Wake up, idiot. It's crazy. But they didn't just ignore. They said, you know, they didn't just say, okay, we're wrong. I'm sorry. We're going to start doing right now. They didn't just, you know, confess and forsake. They didn't even just ignore. They attacked. And, you know, all while Roger Jimenez was involved in his moral sin for the last year plus, all while he's living a wicked life and living a life of sin, you know, he gets up and he preaches, I tried to leave quietly, Steve, but you won't let me. So now I'm going to come after you, and when I'm done with you, I'm going to come after Dylan and that weasel Shelley too. What is that? That's a man that has not just not listened to the correction, not received the correction, not received what the Bible is saying, but to go farther and to attack men of God. That's a dangerous place to be. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's a dangerous place to be standing against a man of God. And then, of course, all the idiots at Verity Baptist Church scream amen at this point, right? Hey, we're coming after Dylan, coming after Shelley too. What did we ever do? What did we ever do to Verity Baptist Church? What did Pastor Shelley ever do to Verity Baptist Church? Bring a red-hot sermon at the red-hot preaching conference?
Right.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know we were supposed to preach boring, lame sermons at the red-hot preaching conference.
Right.
Pastor Shelley actually thought, this is crazy, he thought at the red-hot preaching conference to bring a red-hot sermon. Yeah, that's nuts, right? Wow, what a terrible person. He's a weasel. What a weasel. Then, while committing this moral sin, he gets up and preaches a sermon called When People Attacked You to Distract from Themselves. That's wild work, my friend. That is crazy. That is wild work. To be involved in moral sin, whatever that is, to be, you know, withholding money from your missionary, to be stealing over $100,000, and be like, oh yeah, when people attack, to distract from themselves. You mean like what you've been doing last year?
Right.
You mean like what you're doing right now, this very second? It's like, man, you see what happens to someone when they're not right with God is they get completely blinded. They get completely blinded. Then he breaks fellowship with all of us for no reason. Haven't done anything to him. He breaks fellowship with all of us. He says that the new IFB is trashy and vile. Meanwhile, he's committing moral sin, but we're trashy and we're vile. That we're going a bad direction. What? What are you doing? We're going a bad direction? Oh, the music standards are changing. Forget stealing $100,000. Forget moral sin. The music standards are changing. He says, oh, we fight too much. Because you know what people do when they start to compromise? Is they start to get mad at people who are still fighting. And when you preach, when you stand where the new IFB has always stood, people who no longer want to stand there get upset at you. They don't like that because it makes them look bad. And so why would you know, criticize someone for fighting? The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Hey, we're supposed to fight the good fight. There's nothing wrong with fighting for the gospel, fighting for doctrine. Then he steps down, you know, or before that, you know, he says that I'm a person of low character, that I'm someone that's worthy of no respect. That Pastor Shelley is a person of low character. He's worthy of no respect. and that, you know, he's a weasel. He got the extra one, that he is a weasel. So all of that, you know, we're the terrible, evil people. We're the vile, trashy people. Verity just gets to sit there and believe we're trashy, we're evil, we're vile. They're all just constantly crap-talking us, slandering us. And then he steps down for being wicked, for being a bad leader, and then all the idiot bleeding hearts are just like, oh, he's such a great man of God. He's just so, you know, has so much integrity, and he has so much class, and he's still the greatest pastor ever. He's still the greatest leader, and we're still the trash. We're still the trash. We're still the low characters. We're still the weasels. It's like, wow. Wow. Folks, if you're on that side, let me tell you something. You are either already or are heading down a road where God's going to look at you and say, you cannot prosper. That is the truth. I believe Verity Baptist Church is doomed, that it's cursed. They have not repented. I would love to see that not be the case. I would love that. But you know what? I would leave Verity Baptist Church. I would not take my family there. 1 Chronicles 16:21 says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Look, preaching against sin is not doing someone harm. Preaching and correcting false doctrine, bad ideas, that's not doing someone harm. But lying and railing and making false accusations and saying we're low character, we're trash, we're vile, we're terrible, we're worthy of no respect, that is trying to do someone harm. That is wicked. And you know what? We should acknowledge that that's wicked. And I want people to stop pretending like he's still the good guy and we're still the bad guys. No. You know, if you're still standing with Verity, I say you're the bad guy. Go to Numbers 12. Numbers 12. You know, you ought to be careful how you treat, speak to, and speak of a man of God. You ought to be very careful. And you know, the Bible says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You know, this has not come natural, probably for a lot of pastors, because honestly, I just don't like, you know, being a hard ass, for lack of a better word. I just am not naturally that way. But I'm just telling you, I'm not going to let people despise me. I'm not going to let people sit here and scroll on their phone during the entire sermon because I magnify mine office. That's why. Amen. Not because of me or anything like that, but I've been commanded by God, let no man despise you. Numbers 12, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, in Miriam, and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Talking crap on Moses for marrying this Ethiopian woman. But you know who hears it? God hears it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the tabernacle, in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why were you not afraid to speak against men of God? You should be afraid to speak against men of God. You should be afraid to speak against Pastor Anderson. Yeah. I mean, hello, this guy is getting so many people saved and has been for decades. This is a great man of God who's leading a great church, doing a great work for God. Why would you speak against him? Why? Why would you speak against Pastor Shelley that's getting over, what, like 14,000 people saved last year, something like that? Do you guys remember the number? It was over 10,000, amen? It was over 10,000. Why would you speak against Pastor Shelley? Why? Why would you speak against great men of God? And you know what? I don't just apply this to Pastor Shelley and Pastor Anderson. Why would you speak against any man of God? You know, I went to a conference this week with the old IFB. Do you think I was sitting there picking them apart? Do you think I was sitting there every single time the preacher said something I didn't 100% agree with that I'm just thinking, well, this guy, I mean, ugh. Just like, hey, you know, praise God for these men. They're getting people saved. They're King James only. They have the right salvation. Do I agree with everything? No, I don't. But praise God for these men. I love these men. Don't speak bad of these men. Oh, they're not perfect. Okay, great. Neither are we. Neither are they. Oh, they believe that fags can get saved. Yeah, them and 100% of other old IFB churches. All old IFB churches are wrong on that. You know that? They all think that. But that doesn't mean they can't get people saved. That doesn't mean that they're not doing some things that are good for God. Hey, don't go speaking against men of God. Be very careful how you treat, how you speak to, and how you speak of men of God. It says in verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Hey, Miriam, you can't prosper. You go against the man of God, you cannot prosper. Be careful about going against the man of God. Be careful about what you say to him, what you say about him. Hey, rebuke not an elder. Hey, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may also, what? Fear. Fear. Go back to 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. Second Chronicles 24, notice what happens to Joash in verse 23. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. Never, ever, ever think that you've gotten so big, you've gotten so powerful, you've gotten so rich, you've gotten so enlarged that you no longer need to fear God. Let me tell you something, you always need to fear God. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter how big a church is, how much money they have, how much clout they have, how much influence they have, they always need to fear God. And you know, it doesn't matter to what great heights a pastor achieves and how much work he's done for God and how many great sermons he's preached in the past. He always has to fear God going forward. You always have to fear God. Verse 25, and when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David. But they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. Boy, what a happy, uplifting chapter that was, right? But this is life. This is the real, ugly, nitty-gritty reality of life. Hey, he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. When you know what the Bible says, what did I say? You could watch people in real time destroying their life. And that brings some sorrow along with it, doesn't it? It's like, Joash, you idiot, why didn't you just listen? Why didn't you just repent? Why didn't you just stop? Why did you forsake the house of God? Why did you serve idols? Why did you go in the groves? Why did you attack the man of God? Why did you kill the man of God? Now you're dead. The end. Moving on. The end of his life. What do we need to do? Number one, you better start fearing God today. You better start fearing God. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. You will live a happy life if you are walking always in the fear of God. You ought to be terrified of God. If this situation should teach you one thing, it should teach you that you better be scared of God, and that God is watching, and that God is listening, and that God is going to obviously stand by the truth. God is going to stand with the Bible, obviously. We need to make sure we're on that side. We ought to be scared to preach lies. We ought to be scared to not care about the house of God. You ought to be scared to forsake church. You ought to be scared to sit here and be disrespectful in the house of God. Amen. You better be scared to disrespect the man of God. You better be scared to talk bad about him. You better be scared to rail against him. Yeah, you better be scared. You better confess and forsake your sin immediately. You better go home tonight and fall on your face and ask God to have mercy on you for whatever it is that is going on in your life. You better make things right with the man of God. That's one good thing I've seen from this situation is a lot of people, finally, the scales have been dropped from their eyes and they're like, oh, wow, yeah, the new IFB was sticking with the stuff the whole time. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get things right with the man of God. Amen. You know, let me just be real, real specific here. What do I got to lose anyways, right? Oh, you guys just got a little tiny church. That's what people say. What do I got to lose anyways, right? Let me talk to all the people who left our church when this first happened. Because, you know, it's funny how when I moved here, day one, there was 55 people in this church. Where are they all? Where'd they go? Oh, yeah. You guys thought you were standing against a horrible, wicked, evil abuser. And you weren't. You were forsaking a man of God. Yep. And you know what? God sent you a gift here to Oklahoma City. This was a church plant. Didn't have a pastor. You have one now. And so many people just took it for granted. Yep. And forsook me. And forsook the great work that's being done for God here. It's not about me. It's the work that's being done for God here. Yeah, we're small, but we got over 2,000 people saved last year. I wonder how many people Verity got saved last year. Was it more than 2,000 or was it less? Where are you guys at? Why don't you come and make things right? Hey, we want you back.
Amen.
We love you. We love you. We want you back. We want people who want to serve God to be in this church. Hey, you made a dumb mistake. Move on and let's never talk about it again.
Yep.
But you know what's shameful is staying in a state where you're not right with the man of God. You forsook the man of God. You were on the wrong side of things, and you stay in that state for the rest of your life, and you don't go to a fire-breathing, soul-winning church for the rest of your life. That's what's shameful. That's what's sad. Go to Jeremiah 29, last place we'll go to. What's another application? Hey, you better get in church, obey the warnings from the Bible and from the man of God. Because let me tell you something. God did not want Joash's life to end this way. I could promise you that. God was pleased with him. He was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. God didn't want it to go that way for him. But you know what? You could do things in your life where you could come to a point where God says you cannot prosper. What does the Bible say? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hey, God had thoughts of peace and good towards Joash. It did not have to go down that way. Joash ended that way for one reason, in his own choice. His own choice is. And you know, hey, I believe that God has thoughts of good towards you, good towards me, good and peace towards Anchor Baptist Church, good and peace towards our friends. But you know what? We better fear God, because we could do some things in our lives where God looks at us and he says, hey, you cannot prosper. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for the warnings therein. I pray that you'd help every single person here to fear you, that we would just repent of the sins that we have in our lives, that we would feel bad for them, that we'd fall on our face before you and just beg you for mercy, that we wouldn't dig into our sins, that we just walk in the fear of the Lord all the days of our life, that you'd help us not to forsake your house physically, not to forsake it mentally, to love your house, to respect your house, to love God's servants, to respect God's servants. Please give us mercy as we go forward trying to serve you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our last hymn this evening will be number 116. Hymn number 116, 116, He Leadeth Me. There on the first.
He leadeth me, O blessed God, O by him.
Amen. With that, you are dismissed.